When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to The Wheel Reads, a Wheel of Time podcast. Your hosts are Alan, Chris, and Ian. This podcast is safe for first-time readers with no spoilers. This week, we'll be covering chapters 7 and 8 of Crossroads of Twilight, A Blacksmith's Puzzle, and Whirlpools of Color. Enjoy! What's up?
What's up?
I like the low res. I like it.
We're on the old laptop tonight.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So welcome everyone to season 10, episode 5 of The Wheel Reads. It's just Ian and I tonight because Chris is having the Chris's and the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day or whatever.
Yeah. He just needs a breather.
He needs a breather. He needs some time. He's had
We've all had our evenings of needing that, so I'm happy to hold down the fort on these chapters.
Yeah. You said you sent me a message saying I can go solo, and I thought about just starting it and then
and then leaving. I'd do it for these chapters. I have a couple good points to make, and then I would just start inviting people on and
BSing. Sounds good. Well, before we get any further, this episode is sponsored. What? Yeah. It's sponsored. So yeah, if you ever travel abroad and you know that cell phones can get really expensive overseas because of roaming and data charges. So we got a solution for you guys. Yeah, the link's in the description, but it's Sally. And I like the name because it was sailing. So so yeah.
Sally. It's
eSIM data plans, over 150 countries you can choose from. It's built by Nord Security. So you don't have to wait in line anywhere for it. It's actually a pretty cool service. I went and actually checked it out myself. I'm not planning on traveling anytime soon, but it looked like really affordable. From what I could see, actually, I can show you guys. Yeah, so like if you go to the website, you can choose like a destination, like going to India, and the plans start like what, $3.99 for a 1 gig for 7 days. So that's pretty money. Cheap. Yeah, a lot cheaper than roaming charges, that's for sure.
For sure.
But you can pick, like I said, any country, and they'll have the pricing structure for each country. And yeah, so
not all who wander are lost, but you could go broke. So choose Sally.
I thought about doing it. This episode is brought to you by Vault-Tec. do some Fallout.
Yes. I just binged that, by the way.
Yeah, I haven't finished it yet, but yeah, it's some fun. I've been watching it. It's good stuff. Good stuff. Good for WattCon. Yeah. So if you come over for WattCon Aussie from Australia, and you need the United States eSIM cards, it's a lot cheaper than your data plans. I can guarantee that. Because cell phone companies like to screw you. Dependent. It's on iOS and Android. So Apple and Android.
Don't make no never mind.
If you get an Android, you know, at least they won't call the cops on you. Unlike Apple.
Yeah, apparently.
Apparently. So context for that story. My brother was woken up last night by cops knocking on his door. And there was a pickup truck in...
His house,
on his front step, to his house. Someone drunk had driven and smashed through their yard and then fled from the scene. The only reason why the cops were called is because Susie got an accident. The driver's Apple Watch automatically called the cops to let them know an accident's happened. Didn't know that was a feature in Apple Watches, but yeah, snitches, man. Apple be snitches. He fled. He ran away.
Your brother opened the door. The cops asked questions. He was like, I ain't seen nothing. What truck?
The funny thing is my sister-in-law's birthday yesterday. So my brother's like, surprise, got you a car.
Toyota-thon. Yeah. It's a Helix with a
I think it was
a cruiser weapon on the back. What is this?
Like a 1996 Dodge, like an old beat up truck.
Perfect.
And it's totaled. Like it's bad. But anyway, I don't know if they caught the guy or not yet, but they know who it is. So I guess I'll get caught eventually. Fun times. Personal life besides trucks driving through my brother's yard. I don't really know. We have this con thing coming up like in a few days. So
yeah,
I'm just getting ready. Like tomorrow I'm off work. So I am driving around and getting everything packed and maybe take my car to the car wash. So it can be all nice and clean for Ian and I to go drive down. And then we'll be in Atlanta. So that's all I got really going on right now. Is just getting ready for good old Jordan Con. How about you, Ian?
You know me long enough to know that I won't actually think about getting ready until tomorrow, about 20 minutes before you call me and say, hey, I'm on the way.
Yeah.
It's too exciting. Meredith is going to come down for Jordan Con. She's flying down. She's going to meet us for a couple days.
That's cool.
Yep. We went ahead and for a couple nights, we got a room in a hotel walking distance, like half a mile away.
Cool.
But does it mean we're going to be not partaking in the shenanigans? We'll certainly be around. It's just when it's time to tap out, we're going to
slide
a block on down. Yeah.
Sounds good. We're
pretty excited.
All right. That's awesome. By packing, I haven't done any packing yet either. I just gonna do that tomorrow.
Right. Guy packing. Well, let me throw some clean stuff in a bag.
All this recorded equipment that I'm gonna bring, because I think the Cosmere Reads, we're doing an episode there at the con one day. I was gonna do it down the lobby, but talking to other content creators, like they're like, could you please limit your shows to like 30 to 40 minutes so we can fit everybody in? I was like, we'll just record it I don't do this time schedule thing.
I'm winging it constantly.
And if it's good, I don't want to be cut off, nor do I want to like bogart the space for other people that want to
be considerate.
So we'll probably just record in one of our rooms. If you guys want to come, we'll let you in. We'll have drinks. I already bought alcohol. So I got
where are y'all at in Cosmere Reads?
The end of Air One.
What? Getting in on that.
It's the last episode. Yeah.
I'll bring the tissues.
Yeah.
There will be hugging. There will be crying.
Yeah. It's
the last episode. Joy, tears of sadness.
All the things. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. It should be fun. I'm excited. So hopefully it'll be fun. But nonetheless, we plan on just having a good time.
So. Can't wait to see you guys.
Good luck with construction. Oh, is Athena having construction done? Oh, she's been on a couch. I did say that. Yeah, I saw that on Discord. Yeah. sorry, I'm just completely lost. So anything else for the good cause before we hop right into chapter this is? Chapter seven?
Well, let's roll with it.
Seven? Seven.
Something about a hammer.
Blacksmith's puzzle.
That's what I said. Blacksmith's puzzle.
Yeah, the hammer was last week.
Whatever. I'm ready, Alan. Perrin chapter, though. So,
yeah,
it's
Perrin. Right. So, Perrin, Berylyn, the Wise Ones, Anora, Lasuri, the Maenar Guards, everyone. They're all gathered around the Dark Count tracks, and they're kind of like staring at it like, huh, that sucks.
You can tell because the way it is.
Yeah, it seems like I have my notes in this little summary. Each seemed lost in their thoughts studying the Brits. You can see like one guy just like kind of poking a stick like, yep, they're there.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have any relatable pending doom type of experiences where you like see something like that, you're like just speechless like, yeah, that kind of sucks.
This could be bad, guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Masuri dismounts, get a closer look, but stops and waits for the Wise One's permissions. Permission? This makes some of the Maenars uneasy. Anora's pretending like she doesn't see them. And then they talk about different packs and different sizes of dark hounds they've seen in the past. And
yeah, like, why do you get an 8-pack of hot dogs and a 12-pack of buns? Like,
seriously,
I don't get it.
I don't either.
Well, so pack size matters, but let's be consistent, okay?
But who decided that they'd make hot dogs in 8-packs and buns in 12? Like, that's, I mean, how many packs of each do you need to make it an equal number? Like, how much do you have to buy? So the math's
3 and no, wait, 8, 16, 20. At 24, you would link
24.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. 2 hot dogs. Yeah.
2 and 3.
2 and 3.
Who eats that many hot dogs? Well, I mean, I guess if you're barbecuing, it might work out. But then you get hosed because one of the buns comes apart at the seam.
Yeah, always. Always when you're ripping it, one bun just gets destroyed. It's just this without a doubt. So
2 buns, 3 hot dogs. 2 hot dogs.
That's on our OnlyFans. That content is locked right now.
That's a whole nother patron level.
It's a whole nother patron level to get that video.
So what we have, and this has been kind of continuing in these chapters, is within Perrin's world, we're being reminded that he's been forced to pull together all these different groups, factions, whatever. Yes, they all have a common goal, enemy, kind of. Everybody seems to be concurring with Perrin that the goal is Fael, but we also have other people tugging at the strings. You know, there's the one guy that wants his queen. Yeah. There's one of Berlane's seconds is like, look, if you want to just go ahead and leave now, yeah, that's what I got to recommend. Like, we should not be here. I know you're trying to help out. Now that part seems staged.
Yeah.
I almost feel like knowing Berlane, like she told this guy to, in front of everybody, give the recommendation that we leave so I could give my speech about how I'm going to stay and I'm here for Fael and win people over. Like that. Yeah. So all these different factions, not quite trusting each other.
They're all very smelly during all this.
Well, except apparently for Berlane.
Yeah, except for Berlane.
Yeah.
Her she covers up so much perfume. You can't smell it. But
yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
Smells like cologne. Leave it alone. That's what my old crusty redneck neighbor told me.
Nice.
I don't know if I trust his advice.
Yeah. So they determined that there might be 50 in this pack. So this is a big pack of dogs.
All right. So
it's Costco size.
50 dogs. How many packs of buns do you need for that?
That'd be what, 48
at the 60.
So you need, well, man, you have a lot of leftover buns. Yeah. An extra 2, you're buying a whole 12 pack for 2 buns, and then you know you have 10 left over.
That's messed up. So whoever released 50 of these dogs is cruel,
dark
and
friends.
Twisted.
Dark friends.
Yeah. If there were any doubts before.
Yeah, and they even make like a comment, like, "Oh, you just pour salt in their ears and they go away." It's like,
Yeah, and that's our Aes Sedai is kind of giving the backstory on what she knows about the Dark Hound. She throws in at the end, by the way, salt doesn't do it. I don't even know why I have to tell you that. But
just rub some salt on it. It's like this old wives' tales. Like,
not slugs.
If you get stung by jellyfish, pee on it. It does nothing actually for the sting at all.
I've peed on 20 jellyfish, and the person was still in pain. So I don't know why that would help.
I don't either. You just throw it on the beach and start peeing on it. Yeah. You've seen that meme where it's like, I've been stuck peeing on it. It's like peeing on the trash. maybe a dark friend like Alan. Yes, 100%.
Lookouts... when somebody pees on you after you get stung by a jellyfish, it's like that major pain thing where his leg hurts, so he like breaks his thumb, and he's like, bet you ain't thinking about your leg no more.
Yeah.
It doesn't really help the sting. You're just totally grossed out that somebody peed on you in front of everybody else at the beach. Like, everybody's watching. He just got pissed on. Clearly, you're not thinking about how you just got stung on your leg. You're like, I've got human urine on me.
Jellyfish hurt, dude. For people who don't live near the ocean, who have never been stung before, let me tell you, as someone who has been stung and every inch of my body...
At the same time,
wrapped up in a ton of jellyfish. Like,
remember those summers? So where we're at, even on the river where it's brackish,
you get swarms
when the water finally gets warm enough. So like into the August time frame, the water get warm enough and they all push up. And Alan, we've been tubing out by your place as kids where when you wipe out, you try to stay up on the surface as best you can. Otherwise, you just get completely wrapped up in them. And yeah. I remember wiping out and having to pull them out of my shorts. Like,
yeah,
horrible.
Yeah.
So bad.
Or when you try to shoot me with a jellyfish out of the potato gun. That was
Yeah. That was technically, horrible. I was shooting everybody. I shot it straight up in the air. You got stung because it took you too long to do the mental math. You were looking up going, huh, oh, wait a minute. Splat, splat, splat.
Oh, man. Anyway, if you get stung enough, you actually get a fever. Fun story. The jellyfish we have are stinging nettles. They won't kill you. They're not like box jellyfish, but they definitely still hurt.
They get you in their numbers.
Yeah. Anyways, so the lookouts alert Perrin that someone's approaching, and Perrin with her.
Well, husband. What they said was.
Yeah. Exactly. Perfect. Yeah. Nailed which. It. Which everybody's like, oh, that means someone's approaching. And Perrin's like, that means Massima, because he said the click happened after the up note,
right,
following the down note.
Yeah. But what was the description of the bird that it sounded like he was referring, like this was the reference to Messina. It was like the bird that causes a lot of trouble, super annoying,
yeah,
steals stuff, gets into crap.
It's a, what's it called? A cockamera? Isn't that? Cuckoo birds do that.
Oh, yeah.
They'll break into people's or other birds' nests and lay eggs and stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah, but there are mischief birds out there. Let's see. So a guard approaches. They're still kind of disdained about the Aes Sedai being there and the Ashaman and everything. Anything else from all this? No. All right.
So somebody in the chat asked the Aes Sedai that's given us descriptions of the hounds, the dark hounds, you know, how was she able to find so many? Even though this comes up again later in the chapter, or maybe it's the next one when Elias shows up, he flat out makes a comment like, it's interesting that she's had that opportunity with so many. But even reading it the first time through, I was thinking that. I was like, okay, the way she's telling it, it sounds more than I've read about it. It definitely sounds experienced it, and that's a lot.
Yeah.
But then also, we were kind of led to believe that it's a newer phenomenon, like recently, like when we ran into him with Ran, like that was the first time we saw it.
What is it?
Phenomenon.
Do.
Phenomenon. It took me a second. If that's true, if the Dark Hounds only started showing up around that time frame and she's seen that many from when Rand first ran into him until now, that makes her very sus, or at least somebody that she associates with very sus.
Mm-hmm. Is it Aes Sedai from the Borderlands and a Brown, actually? Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, so yes, they're found more in the Blight. You know, a Brown that takes interest in them would obviously go out of her way to try to study them when she hears that they're out and about. So, like, you can rationalize it all, but still, to Elias's point that we're going to run into, that's quite a bit.
Yeah.
Most people only hear about them in tales and, you know, don't actually see them.
Yep. So Massima and his two followers right ahead of their approaching army, he then immediately starts alluding to the affair that Perrin's having with Berylaine.
He cuts his eyes.
Yeah.
Perrin mentions his wife, and Messina looks directly at Berylaine.
Like,
hey, we're dancing around this so much that I'm worried it's going to be worse than people think that they had an affair.
Yeah.
Like, it's leading to, there's going to be an accident or a moment of passion or whatever, and Perrin's going to F up. You know, she doesn't seem like the type. She seems like the type that will take it all the way to 99.9% and still rely on him to actually make the move.
Mm-hmm.
But she's going to put him in a position where it's near impossible to refuse.
You think so? Okay.
Yeah. Sadly.
Good old Berylaine.
Or maybe something happens where he like woofs out and like his instinct just takes over and he's like, we making puppies.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. So Mishima and Missouri, they spar briefly. And then Mishima says his followers have found a town where supplies can be purchased. The town is called So Harbor. It's about 3,000 people, I think. So it's a fairly big town. So yeah, we should go resupply. And Mishima and Perrin then face off just about like everything going on, saying like, no, we need to go after my wife. We don't have time for detours. We don't have time for anything else. We have to go. We'll find her today.
Yeah. And let's back up a tiny bit. If we say it just like that, we run the risk of going, all right, Perrin's not thinking straight. He's just solely dedicated or committed to saving his wife, that he's not thinking about anything else. Well, in his thought process, when Mishima points that out, he makes it a point to reason through, all right, sure, we're all a little low on supplies and we can use it. His people, my people too. But it's a little suspect that like he's encouraging me to do it and he didn't already. Right. It's a little suspect that he's choosing a place that takes us further away, buys him more time, takes him maybe a day away from the trail against Fael, and then, you know, knowing the Fael, they can lose in that time. Mm-hmm. So he does kind of weigh everything. He doesn't just go full head on like, well, Fael, blah.
Yeah.
I mean, that might be what came out, but there was solid thought process behind it.
Sure. Definitely. I think that's it for this chapter.
Yeah.
Don't think I have anything else in the notes. Do you have anything else we missed?
I get nasty, icky feelings every time with the Bear Lane Perrin thing. I already kind of hinted at that.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I don't like where it's going.
No, no, sir. I just don't like it.
Right. That's right. Every time it comes up, I think of the horse.
So no Harbor sure. is not a harbor, not on the water.
Oh, boy.
It's just so hard. There's some towns like that that are called harbor. Definitely have a harbor.
It's like Paris, Texas, or
Paris, Texas,
Rome, New York.
There's lots of those. There's Intercourse, Pennsylvania, or Mianus, yeah. Pennsylvania. I heard you have to go through Intercourse to get to Mianus. It's an interesting place up there, Pennsylvania. Anyways, chapter 8, Whirlpools of Color. Yeah, this is a fun chapter. It starts with Perrin, they're racing their horses towards a rider that's approaching, and it is Elias.
Yay. I mean, sure, exciting, but we know the news one way or another isn't going to be great. I mean, it's a pivot point, turning point. Action's going to take place. Like, do we find out Fael's dead? And then, Lord knows, Perrin would have lost his shit.
Yeah. We find out that Elias has found, you know, the shadow encampment. It's 40 miles away.
Yeah. He doesn't say I have found her, but he says he found the shadow that they've been tracking.
Right.
So.
Yeah. But there's a lot of them. He says, there's like 9 or 10 steps. And it's like, well, we'll go see for ourselves. And he's like, I mean, when I say there's a lot, there's a lot.
Like, this isn't one of those head on, let's take everybody and bash them moments.
They don't have that big of a force. I mean, their force is pretty small.
And is this where they debate about, can they be bought off?
I think a little bit. Yeah. I think that's a part.
Yeah. So we also get back into the whole, you know, somebody turns to one of the wise ones asking, you know, can they be bought off? What are our options here? And the wise ones hit back with, I mean, we could talk about our traditions and norms all day long, but they haven't been following them. So there's no way of knowing.
I've been corrected. It's not harbor, it's haver.
Oh,
haver. Sorry. I added an extra letter in there.
Harbor's funny, though.
Harbor's funny. Yeah. I like harbor better.
Yeah.
Okay. So haver.
Remix.
Sorry. Not sorry. So Perrin kind of fights down to despair, knowing that their numbers are not for them at all. While Aram's like, let's go.
Let's fight.
Calm down, little one.
Yeah.
He's like, it can't be worse than Trollocs. Let's go. He's like, and I think they made the point. He's like, you know, not the best Aiel, but even the worst Aiel is better than everyone here. So,
right. And considering the terrain and the wooded area you'd be fighting in, it kind of balances out our Aes Sedai and channelers, like wide open area where there's good visibility. They could probably do more, but their numbers definitely count for something.
Yeah. And this is the part where he asked if they would accept a ransom. And
right.
Marlene or whatever says that she doesn't know that it goes against Gito, but Shadows abandoned that. So
maybe,
but
then somebody makes the good point. All right. Once we commit to that, we give up the one thing we have going for us, which is the element of surprise.
Yeah.
And so they're all parents, not really engaged in this and they're hashing it out. But
right.
when parent chimes in, it's a, we are not doing a ransom. I think he doubles down on it. Like, no.
Right.
It just tells Elias, I need to see this camp.
Yeah.
So,
and then this is the point where parents like, all right, I want to see myself. Ask Elias to show the camp to him. And he sends Aram to go get Grady to meet them at the traveling grounds. And while they're waiting for Grady to come open a gateway, Elias then notices the Dark Hound tracks. And it's like, yeah, this ain't good.
So I'm assuming you noticed that. Yeah.
They were once wolves, you know, a pack of wolves.
Did we know that before?
I don't know if we did or not. But yeah, there are wolves.
If we were told that, I didn't remember it. So I thought that was kind of neat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and Perrin talking about, well, maybe that has something to do with the reason why they have to be there at the last battle.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. It already seems like no matter. This is going to be one of those scenarios where good can't completely defeat evil, because in doing so, you destroy the balance. Hmm. And there has to be some form of balance. Like for every, for this example, for every Dark Hound, you have a, you know, a wolf that is good.
Yeah. But,
you know,
but one Dark Hound can take down 100 wolves. So,
well, yeah, the ratio, again, we're back to dogs versus buns. Like the ratio doesn't have to be one for one, but there's a balance.
There's a balance. Okay.
You know.
Gotcha. So yeah, they talk about that, talk about how powerful the Dark Hounds are, and how if they fail to take the Dark Hound out, it will eat their souls and turn them so they're not quite dead and make a new pack will be born. Well, I says he doesn't know.
You got to pay the troll toll if you want the boys' toll.
Yeah. So several people accompany Perrin, Elias, and Grady to the Shadow Camp. You know, Elias is trying to be like, dude, be careful. And they're like, yeah, we're being careful. It's like, no, really, like, sneak up. Like, it can't just take your horse to the top of the hill. They'll see you in an instant. Like, a horse top of a hill is like just blatant, obvious.
Right.
Like be sneaky.
We can't do anything about our tracks in the snow.
Yeah. They're going to find out eventually that we're looking.
You know, our hope is to be long gone by the time they notice that.
Right. Exactly. And hope that maybe they don't put two and two together and think it was just someone else wandering by and not necessarily an enemy. But anyway. And they look down at the, and they see, I guess they're able to count the wise ones. And that's when they realize that there are a shit ton of wise ones in the Shadow Camp. And they're like, yeah, so the attack head-on strategy is not going to work.
Not going to happen. I wonder if this turns into a Ran getting the horn scene. Remember when Ran just decided on his own to sneak in there?
Yeah.
I could see everybody debating about what they should do, and then like Perrin just slipping off and sliding in on his lonesome trying to go get him.
I mean, they do discuss ways to get into the town. I mean, there's that waterway that's running into the town and things like that. But during the middle of that kind of discussing the layout, that's when all of the colors explode in Perrin's head and everyone starts to freak the fuck out.
Yeah.
So go back to how this book kind of is parallel in the end of last book, because we see it now in a couple of different spots. I think we saw it with Matt. But they all start panicking. The Aes Sedai are like, we need, this might be Forsaken. We got to get up there and at least see what's going on. Let's make a gateway right now. And parents like, no, we're not. It's Rand. I know it's Rand. We're good.
He's handling his business.
Rand's going to do Rand things, and we're just going to hang out here. Let Rand do Rand things.
So let's back up a little bit. So there was a the comment from the Aes Sedai studying the Darkhound Prince.
Yeah.
Was like there was some odd sense of like despair and like they're searching and not finding, like, and they're freaking out about it.
Yeah.
So is this something Rand created by, remember before he went to do what he was doing, he just zipped all over the place and kept creating trails everywhere.
Yeah.
And then, so if they're chasing Rand, then this is why they're finding trails that lead to nowhere and they're freaking out. So, but then why would Rand have thought of that? I mean, yeah, he ran into Darkhounds before, but, or maybe just in general, he was trying to make his trail hard to find.
There's two ways of traveling. There's skimming and traveling. Rand in the beginning of the books was skimming a lot. So that's where you travel, like it takes you a while because you travel like on a platform, and traveling's like instantly step into a place. Now they're doing the other one more because he hadn't quite mastered that at the beginning of the books. But a lot of that has to do with knowing where you're going versus knowing where you are. And that's kind of how that works. So there still is usefulness in skimming, but I don't know if that has anything to do with the Dark Counts tracking them. But Rand was bouncing around a lot, but that was most of it traveling. I don't know if that's what the Dark Counts are about or not.
I'm assuming they're frustrated in trying to find Rand. It could be that they're after somebody else, but.
Let's see. The colors erupted inside Perrin's head, an explosion of use so strong that sight nearly vanished. I've heard that happen to me before. It's pretty epic.
I've seen music before.
I've seen music. The Halo theme song.
Yep.
Have you seen that? There's actually, I think, a myth or a meme or a GIF or whatever out there. It's like you can't hear music and it shows the title screen to Halo. It's like, I can see music.
Yep.
Anyways, so yeah, they start arguing about everything. Perrin kind of shuts it down, saying, "Nope, we're here for Fael. Rand's gonna do Rand things. We're not worried about what's happening up there."
All right. So the answer is probably a balance of the two, but is Perrin just completely confident in Rand doing what he needs to do? Or is Perrin actually just maybe way too focused on the Fael thing and forsaking other obligations?
Okay.
Look, Chris isn't here, so you have to engage.
Oh, okay. Raffo? Like, I mean, I can't get theories. I mean, I'm not allowed
to. Do you remember what you were thinking when you read it? I know that was a bit ago, but
I haven't read this book in so long. my reads, I usually skip this book. Let's see.
Because I've been defending Perrin up until this point of, all right, it seems like he's making rational decisions. Mm-hmm. But okay, your boy's in trouble,
right?
I can look at this two ways. There's been many instances where you've heard about me doing some crazy stupid shit that would probably get me hurt, where in the story you telling me afterwards, everybody freaking out, you're calm and you're like, oh, it's Ian, nah, he's good, he doesn't even want us to, no, he's got it. But then I ask myself, is that Alan being like, well, Ian might get arrested, so we're not going to mess with that? Or is it Alan truly going, look, yes, it sounds absolutely ludicrous, and the average person, you should probably go and stop. But one, Ian's either thought it through enough, he'll be okay. Or two, he's thought it through enough, you're not going to stop him anyways.
Yeah.
So like, you're not going to do any good there.
Like the time I was on the beach and you get swamped by the boat, you told me to come help, and I'm like, I don't know the guys.
You got yourself into this, buddy. Get yourself out. You'll be all right.
You're good, man. You're good. Just keep doing what you're doing.
A crazy guy calling for somebody named Alan. Who the fuck's Alan?
Steve. I don't know.
I don't know this fool.
He thinks I might be someone else. Craziness.
We would have rode that wave all the way in, but I didn't take the extra time to inflate it all the way to get it rigid.
Yeah.
So it was a little bendy. And once the back of the wave started lifting it up and it folded. Oh, man. Getting rolled up in a wave with an inflatable that had a 10 horsepower motor on the back at full throttle. As we were rolling in the wave, that motor was still running.
Yeah.
The kill switch had not been pulled yet. I was like, I was trying to find the cord and yank, and I heard it was bad. So this is why Alan is a dark friend, because when I come up and I'm like, Alan, help, and he actually goes, I don't know that guy. Like, we legitimately almost died.
The guy next to me was going to kill me if I know what you.
Oh, buddy.
He was looking for blood. He was not happy. He was not a happy guy.
Perrin is the questing knight. I tell you what. See, and there's truth to that, too. Like, you get tunnel vision. You get focused. So maybe it just becomes easier to justify those decisions. I play Fortnite a lot. And in my
yeah, I forget the next couple lines, but then it goes.
Secret tunnel.
Sorry.
Yes, that's what Perrin is thinking. No, we have to get Fael.
Yeah.
But anyways, those of you that play Fortnite and probably other games similar, you know this. There's questing options to get more XP and all that jazz, and you get cool stuff from it. I've had a Switch where I'll only quest in solo modes by myself, or maybe if there's one other person that wants to strictly quest with me. Because if we play Battle Royale, like, to win, and I'm focused on the quest, I get us killed.
Yeah.
100% of the time. Yeah. Like, I should definitely be doing something to help the squad. But also, if you look at the map, my triangle's like a town over. They're like, Ian, what are you doing? I'm like, I got to go get the Chains of Hades and beat the shit out of this dude. Hold on. Six squads converge on me. Beep, beep. I'm down. Help. Yeah. So maybe that's Perrin. Or maybe he has confidence in Rin. Hard to say.
It's hard to say. It is tough to say. I don't know. I do know, but he loves his girl and he wants his girl back. And that's really? What it is. No, Fael.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Then Nora tries to argue with him a bit. And Grady's like, I'll take you there. And Perrin's like, no, stop. It's going to be on her side. Like, we are here. We are not doing anything else but getting my wife. And yep. Perrin's, you know, what little they tell will be more than he knows now. So, yeah, he's just basically is like, going there won't help anything, you know, but going there, not going to, you know, what little bit we'll be able to see from how far away we'll have to get there from there to be, if it is Forsaken, like, we're not going to be able to find anything there anyway. So
right. It's
logical. I mean, what is Perrin going to do if it's a bunch of Forsaken? Like,
you're gonna get spawn killed. You're gonna walk through and go bap headshot.
it's gonna be spawn camping. That's all.
That
it is
not fun.
No, spawn camping's never fun in video games. let me tell you a story about GoldenEye 64.
Unless you're the camper.
Let me tell you a story about GoldenEye 64. So we used to play this game called GoldenEye way back in the day on 64, and instead of being random spawn, it was a pattern.
So which Alan had memorized within the first couple weeks of him owning the game.
So as soon as you knew the pattern, as soon as you got one kill in, you could run while they're trying to load back in and be right there to, like, one hit kill them as soon as they pop in front of you, like, bam, you're dead again, and run the next spot.
I remember there was one time as I'm screaming at him in frustration, like, at least let me, like, live, give me 5 seconds, something. I spawn, and he's not there. And I was like, ooh. And I round the corner. And he had, was it one of the briefcases right in front of me?
The mines.
The mines.
The mines. I would use mines all the time.
It was ridiculous. So, like,
The proximity mines.
So don't go chasing Forsaken.
Yeah.
Don't go chase the Forsaken. Please stick. I can't think of another line, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Didn't he have a thought last book? He just wanted, okay.
I mean, true. I guess I'm answering my own questions. It's something he's struggling with.
He is struggling with it.
But gosh, in real life, though, my biggest frustration when I'm trying to talk people through their problems and their solutions is when you recognize the person you're trying to help, they've already decided what they want the outcome to be. And they're just throwing arguments and trying to rationalize their way to that.
Yeah.
And it's even more frustrating when it's so obvious to anybody else that would hear this story what the right answer would be. And they're doing the exact opposite, but they think they have a good argument for it.
Yeah.
So
I've actually had that conversation. As I've gotten older, I've had the maturity that, like, that at least to recognize that it's completely irrational what I want. But I'll just sit there and flat out just, like, for my wife, for example, like she'll start getting an argument. I was like, listen, I don't really want to get an argument. Let me just tell you right now, it's not rational. So don't try to make it rational. But this is what I'm doing. Like, and you're not going to stop me. But it's, right. It makes no sense. And I don't really care. And I know it's a bad idea, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Like, yeah. I mean, so that's a important level of self-actualization and the self-awareness. So recognizing it in yourself is one thing. Being able to communicate it to other people around you that it impacts is a whole nother level, right? Yeah. But it's important. Now, if you do that all the time with all your decisions, problem.
Yeah.
Problem. But if you're giving yourself like 25%, like,
it's even less than that. It's a once in a blue moon type thing. Sure. It's like, yeah, I'm gonna do this.
That's funny. I have had those conversations.
It's not rational. Don't even try to argue with me about rationality because I lose.
Yeah. I mean, even with my parents as an adult, I shared the big decisions of my life with my parents, and for the most part, you know, they give advice, but they're not really telling me what to do. But I have chosen to do some dumb stuff.
Really?
And I've had the right. Yeah. Alan, shut up. But I've had to have that conversation with him with, I know this is the wrong. I know you don't even have to tell me. I know, but I'm going to do it. And I don't have a good reason why.
Probably shouldn't do it. Nah, I'm going to do it anyway. See what
happens.
All
chance of success.
I'm going to poke it with a stick and see what happens. Something. Do something.
They've turned into great stories.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. A couple of them. Sometimes. Was it rational to let a possum in a Jordan Con 2 years ago? No. Did I do it anyway? Full set.
Did it turn out great? It turned out real great.
It turned out fun.
I noticed the possum before you, and as I like start to chase it, I can almost see out of the corner of my eye as that revolving door is spinning. I see you on the other side of the glass, like, sweet, it went in.
That was too fun. I do have Easing the Possum ribbons for Jordan Con. Anyone come to Jordan Con, you can go try to find Easing the Possum.
Nice. Ribbon.
Yeah, I only have two. I didn't buy new ribbons because I had so much left over from last year. But I just have Sure. Once to say Sure.
And still then appropriate.
Ones that say Easing the Possum. And then I have a bunch of Will Reed stickers that we give away. So cool stickers.
Yeah. Stickers.
We got a whole stack of those. So we'll give away. We'll be doing giveaways. Also, I'm going to be giving away some other cool stuff. So I'm not sure how I'm going to give them away yet and what I'm going to do, but stay tuned to Discord most likely because that's where I'm going to announce what we're doing. Yeah.
So swag it up.
Swaggity swag. Yeah,
we're gonna swag you later.
Doing some giveaways. Be fun. And that's how we end this chapter. This parents saying no, and they're going to try to figure out a way. And
got to find a way. Better way.
Yeah, Sulin agrees to try to find the prisoners. Yep.
I bet they try this one. Oh my gosh, what's that? Run.
Do you think this is going to happen in the next few chapters that we're actually going to get... safe file? Like, how far out do you think this is going to be dragged on?
I still base this on nothing, but I think Fael's going to end up dying.
Ooh.
And as we get closer and Perrin like grips even tighter on the must save Fael, I think she dies in the rescue attempt.
Mm.
But to answer your question, I don't even think we get it in this book. I think this book might be a lead up to that in the Perrin chapters.
In the next one, Knife of Dreams.
That's going back to Matt. Oh, Knife of Dreams, as in the book. Yeah. I thought that was the name of the chapter.
No, that's the book, Knife of Dreams, with the Van Gogh parent on the front. Definitely Van Gogh-esque.
He just scratched his ear off.
Yeah, pretty much.
Nailed it.
Yep, pretty much. So, favorite character? Do you have one? Or anything else we missed? Anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think I added as much fluff as I could.
Okay, cool. Well, if you guys are going to JordanCon, come find us. We're going to be having fun.
Favorite character,
go.
Elias.
Oh, nice one. I want to give it to Bearline.
Fuck you.
I like Bearline.
You would.
Dude, I do like Barrow.
Now she has some. Actually, she has more than some. She has plenty of redeeming qualities, and I'm not even talking about her using her attractiveness on men.
Okay.
She's a strong leader, and she works with the tools she has. I bet you if something happened where she got a wicked acid burn or whatever, like, she might have a couple of down days, but she would still find a way to be a freaking powerhouse.
Oh, yeah.
She just doesn't seem like the type that takes no for an answer. It might have to be the long road to get to what she wants, but she's going to get there and get you there.
Exactly. Good deal. So, well, next week...
Still a bad pick by you.
Next week, I think we'll be covering two chapters. Is good. I think we're doing two chapters for a while. Yep, 9 and 10. And those chapters' titles are, come on, internet, quit being slow. Let's see, Traps, It's a Trap, and A Blazing Beacon.
Well, I doubt we're going to get Rand chapters, because why would we rehash what we did? But maybe we get what's going on with Rand from a different perspective, somebody that's nearby.
Okay. I wonder if Barely is a better choice than Fire Eel.
for these chapters, yes. In life, I don't know.
So we're covering two chapters next week. It's just going to be Traps and A Blazing Beacon. So, yep, be fun. Anything else before I go ahead and sign off?
Tell them where we could be found.
Ah, yeah. It's at thewillreads.com. It's a website. It actually does work. You should go check it out.
Today it works.
Today it does work. Find links to all sorts of cool stuff like Patreon, merchandise, get some frosty mugs, some t-shirts, some shot glasses, all that fun stuff. Go check it out. We greatly appreciate those if you want to buy some of our merch. Find links to Discord, social media. I don't post as much as I used to just because life is busy. And I kind of went like anti-social media for quite some time now. I don't do social media really at all anymore.
It's not bad to step away from it a little bit.
I've stepped away from it a lot. Like, it's been like months since I've like really, really dove into social media. I can't remember the last time I opened up Instagram for the first time thinking like, only time I open up Instagram is when you send me a message on Instagram. It's the only time. Like, oh, I got a message. That's from Ian. Okay, I'll open it up. Like, I just don't like Facebook. Hardly ever go on that. Twitter or X or whatever. I used to check that all the time. Now it's like, meh. I watch YouTube. I'm on YouTube a lot. But that's not really social. I don't know. That's social
media. I'd be watching them Y Files.
Oh, yeah.
Which is on Prime now. Did you see that?
I did not see that.
He's moving up.
Moving up. Yeah. I remember I started watching that channel when like nobody watched it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So cool. Go check us out, the website, all the good stuff, and that's all I got. So
until next time, peace.
Okay, bye.
Thank you for watching The Wheel Reads.
Until next time,
peace. Okay, bye.
Get your Coast Guard certified life-saving device ready and strapped on.
Sure. Oh, where are we going tonight?
What kind of strap-on are you talking about?
Sure.